welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 4, episode 21, episode number 156. How is it going?
Oh, delightful.
Good.
Everybody had a good week. Anything interesting happen to anybody?
Not really. I got a Christmas tree.
Oh, a real one?
A real one. Love I'm not even going to tell you how expensive it was. The price went up.
Really?
It was very expensive.
Now I'm curious.
How much? Okay, fine. I will tell you. For? It was $80. We spent $80 on
$80 on a Christmas tree?
I'm also a little convinced that the guy lied to us when we were like, when was this cut? Like, you got it today. He like hesitated when he said yes. And
it's a sure sign.
So now I'm like really paying very close attention to the amount of water our tree is taking. And I'm a little concerned it's not taking as much water as it should.
Oh no. I would. Do the same.
Yeah.
So I sucker
across my forehead.
So I went to the website for the place that my family got their Christmas tree from, or they get them from every year. And I believe theirs was on Long Island. You cut it down yourself. And it looked like it was $55.
Wait, that feels like a lot of money to cut down your own goddamn tree, though.
It does feel like what exactly are they like giving you? What's
$55?
Do you have to bring your own saw? Do they lend you a saw?
Right, it's usually like the, you know, if you're going to go and like have an adventure and cut down
you can
your
bring
own
freaking
tree,
saw.
That should be free.
No, because they're still paying to grow the trees and water the trees and like nourish the trees into like, you know.
So it's like this hybrid of like the wilderness experience, but you're still doing it commercially.
It's still so capitalism.
You have to pay for the experience of cutting down a tree that somebody else is growing in a specific spot.
Yeah.
It's a giant farm.
The tree didn't get there by free.
Okay, so I'm looking at this more, and it's $45 without your saw, and then any size tree, but then it's a deposit if you want to if you want to rent a saw. So you have to put it, so it's $5 and then a $5 deposit.
Why isn't it just $10?
It is $10. I'm saying you get five of it back.
$5.
Oh, you get it.
As long as the saw is, you know, returned in good shape.
Okay.
You know what? If you're going to cut down your own tree for $55, then having a pre-cut tree for $80 does seem about right.
Yeah, I suppose so. Thank you. That does make me feel a little better.
You're paying $30 for somebody to cut it for you. You don't get that adventure and experience. I don't know. It was fun. Like they take you out on this like tractor and they stick you in the middle of like this like 200 acres. Like it's a lot. It's a lot of trees and there's different types of trees. There's Douglas firs and blue spruce and Norway spruces and white pines. And those are only the ones that I'm looking at in the pictures here. So it's a pretty cool experience though, honestly. Like I feel like $55 is fair if you're going to go to somebody's like land that they're growing the trees on.
That's true. I just stood in the middle of the sidewalk and asked him to cut open a few trees for us.
I will say, as a Montanan, there are not many times when I can be sort of like snooty and snobby to a bunch of New Yorkers, but this is my moment.
She's like, listen,
take it. You burned it.
Well, that's exciting. We did not. I wanted to get a real tree this year, but I got outvoted. I figured if there was going to be if there was going to be a year that we did a real tree, it'd be this year because we're actually home all the way through to February, and it just, I don't know, because Jay was in New York last week, so the theory was the tree wouldn't be able to, like, we could put the tree up before we left, or, you know, like right away when we got home, because it was so late. And if we had to get a tree, then it would be like Saturday or Sunday. So we would be like even later into like the middle of December, you know, like late beginning December, and we wouldn't have like the full thing. But so anyway, but Zachary was very anxious to just get the tree and like get it up. So because he wanted to decorate it. So anyway, I know he was. Okay. Zachary, Jay is like, he was like full on Zach mode, like every day. Can we decorate the tree? Can we decorate? It's like Zachary. Yeah. The tree is up and it's decorated. There's nothing else to put on it. Can we decorate the tree? Yes, it is.
I'm going to go take some off and put them back on.
Yeah. But then he was very excited about decorating the whole house every single day. And we did it over the course of a couple of days. So he's very excited about that. The house is decorated though. It's awesome. On Sunday morning, actually, Zachary woke up first and, was like, it's 7 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock. I want to get up. And we were like, oh, it's the weekend. Can't we just sleep in? Like, we don't want to get up now. So Jay was like, I'll put on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse for you if you let mommy and daddy go back to sleep. And he was like, okay. And then we heard him, like, just as, Jay turned on the TV and came back in bed, and we heard him say, Alexa, turn on the Christmas tree lights.
Oh.
It was so sweet, and it was, still kind of dark out, and it was just him and Mickey Mouse Clubhouse as everybody else was asleep, and he was with the Christmas tree on, and he was like in his little happy place. So it was kind of cute though.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah, it was. But anyway, we did every year we go to Pullen Park, which is a local like park in Raleigh that's like run by the Parks and Rec Department, and they do they have a train ride there, so they do the Holiday Express, and we did that this year again with them. So we did that with them again, and we got on the train ride, and we kind of timed it like awkwardly where Alex was like kind of getting hangry, so. Some lady in line behind us, and this is like, good neighbors, like moms helping moms, as he was literally running around like a crazy person and complaining, like, and you could tell he was getting hungry because it was after six. She was like, will he take like a pouch of food? And I was like, oh my God, yes, he will. So thankfully he was much quieter after that. But like, I'm so grateful to the mom that like saved the day there. But we did that. And then we went to meet Santa. And before we left the house, Zachary was like, I don't want to meet Santa. I'm scared. I don't want to do it. And we were like,
oh my God.
It was like, it was like a thing.
Fair,
right?
Kind of scary.
It was like a thing. And Zachary,
stranger danger. Mm-hmm.
Zachary is very much like he gets scared, and he is not. He's like me. He's emotional. He is not afraid to like put it all out there. Alex, on the other hand, was running around all day and talking about meeting Santa, 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 Santa. And we get up there, and we had kind of like, and we're like, all right, boys, like, what are you going to tell Santa you want? And we had like kind of prepped them, and we'd given Alex a lollipop so he would be like all like sugared out and like, ready to go. And also it was keeping him the hangry down. And we get up there, and Zachary is like, I would like the green Lego blah, blah, blah train. And Alex gets about 3 feet from Santa. And his mood just visibly, like, this cloud comes over his face. And he's just like, oh. You can see that. It was like, oh, no. Oh, no. No, 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 thank you. So it was originally going to be just the two of them on Santa's lap. And then we were like, well, what if mommy sat with you? Look, mommy's right here. And then it would be awkward if, like, the three of us were there and Jay wasn't there. So it was like, all right. Jay, like, takes his jacket off. He's like, I'm in. Let's do this. And as you can see by the picture on my Facebook and Instagram, yeah, Alex was like visibly like, and like had the lip
so
out.
Funny.
At one point, he's trying to, like, get away. You could see Santa's face in that picture. Santa is like, fuck my life. I'm 2 hours in. I still have 3 hours to go.
And
we hit him at like 6:25 or something. It was like pretty soon after our train ride ended. Oh my God, Santa definitely was not feeling us. But Zach did good.
Yeah. So like, that's good. One out of two.
One of these days.
Oh man. No, that picture is hilarious.
It is so funny. I know. I have another funny Alex story, but I think I'm going to save it till the end because it's one of those kind of stories.
Oh, intriguing.
Like, it's
I don't have anything, but I do have one little factoid that I thought that anyone, Colleen in particular, would appreciate.
Okay.
And that is that we are coming up on the last full moon of the decade.
Oh,
and what?
Yeah, because you know it's like everything we do now is the last of the decade,
right?
But I found out that so the full moon is going to be on 12/12.
Ooh.
And it is supposed to hit its full its peak fullness at 12/12 Eastern Standard Time on 12/12.
No way.
What? How did For you real? Find out this fantastic fact?
It was texted to me by somebody who writes horoscopes for a living, so I'm trusting the fact. I didn't even fact check, but I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
And yeah, that holds up. I said, you know what? I think that's cool, and I know some other broads who will too.
Oh my God, that's Indeed. Awesome.
That okay, is look. Great. I love this.
So yeah. Here's the thing. I just wrote down to fact check the 12/12 full moon thing, but this is only really... contingent on me starting to edit this show before 12:12 p.m. on 12/12.
So you know,
wait, is it 12:12 p.m. or a.m.?
Well, 12:12 a.m. We're gonna be sleeping.
Well, hopefully. But wouldn't that be where the moon would be out?
I assume that it was 12:12 a.m., but it's true that it doesn't say.
But it's true. I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, because actually, the full moon is tomorrow, which is the 11th. And so the peak fullness is essentially at 12:12. Yep. So it happens to be 12 minutes after the.
Okay, so Forbes and ABC News and KTLA are the first three search results on Google. Farmers Almanac as well. This week's full moon occurs at 12:12 on 12/12.
Boom.
12/12. Okay, legit.
So that's cool.
I love this.
Thank you, Nina. That's really awesome. I love that fun fact. That's my favorite fact of this month.
Yeah.
All right.
And we talked about how Zachary was born on a full moon on Friday the 13th and the day.
And we have a Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I don't know what that means, but
cool. I don't know. It's great. Awesome. You got a little woo and a little jingle bells and it all works out.
According to this... mooncalendar.astro-seek.com. I know, everybody shut the fuck up. On 12/12 for Gemini, your shoulders, arms, hands, bronchial tubes, and lungs will be affected. I don't really know what else. Okay, cool. So there you go,
affected
Gemini.
How?
I don't know.
I wonder.
It says show details, but are you really going to make me show details?
All right, fine. No, it's okay. I don't care that much.
But this must be like a British site or something because it's listing it as 5:12 a.m., which would be 12:12 our time a.m.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm glad that went over so well.
It did. Very interesting.
And this is episode 421. And if you turn 21 backwards, it's 12.
Oh my God, if you turn 21 backwards, it's 12, and the 12/12 at 12/12 is 4/12.
Oh, wow. Oh,
wait. It's all connected.
I got you beat. You ready?
Okay.
This is episode number 156. 5 plus 1 is 6 plus 6 is 12.
Love it.
Wow.
I really like this.
Oh my God. The stars align. The moon aligns.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just call this episode 12/12, 12/12, 12/12.
I definitely support that.
All the 12. Oh my God. That's so funny. A full 12. It's a full 12, guys.
It's a full 12.
Yeah.
A royal 12.
A royal 12. I don't even know what that means, but
I don't know. I was riffing off of like a royal flush.
Yeah, I got that.
I don't think it actually makes sense. It doesn't. I don't know. Comments.
Lots of 12s. Guys. No, don't comment because we're going to get mansplained. No comments.
Okay.
Just
don't comment.
Let us do this.
Let us live in ignorance and we're happy about it.
Yes. As Shandy pointed out earlier, it's the last two episodes of the decade.
Yep.
Which we are.
It's the last
out.
One and two episodes of the day.
Oh! Wow.
I don't know what's going on, but like, if anyone needs
if
a number,
if anyone wants to play lotto,
I know,
or roulette,
seriously. Yeah. Just a whole slew 12. Of 12s.
A slew of 12s. Yeah. There we go. We found it. A slew of 12s.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Good times. Well, didn't Matt point out in the Raleigh meetup Facebook group that as of yesterday of recording this, that the wait for May 1 is real gross. Hashtag math jokes. And a gross is a dozen, a.k.a. 144, which is the amount of days until the meetup as of yesterday of recording this.
Yeah. Oh, I was real glad that you commented on that because I was like, I don't
know. But you know what the funny thing is?
It's too early for me to think about it.
He explained that, I think, during one of our shows here. If you go through, he definitely talked about a gross on the broadcast something. So it's just funny. He must have been like, oh my God, I've already explained this like a year ago, lady. So
yep, no. I'm a slow learner. I need to be told several times.
Yeah. One might say that this episode has a dozen grosses in it.
One might.
Yeah.
One might.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on. Now I kind of just want to tell my story with Alex. Why not? I've got other stories I'm sure I could tell. Actually, no. Amanda, do you have anything?
Do I have anything? I don't. I have, however, this weekend I started listening to, I was like, I don't. And now I'm going to launch into like a little story. So I guess I do. Okay. Yeah. I do have something. This weekend I started listening to Dolly Parton's America. It's a podcast spinoff from Radiolab, and it is freaking fascinating.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw it in my feed, but I haven't listened yet.
It is so good. I'm like 5 episodes in. I wasn't really like I wouldn't consider myself a Dolly Parton fan. I only know, you know, like Jolene and like the songs that everybody knows. But I started listening because they Radiolab like fed it in their normal feed.
Yeah.
I just got so sucked into the story. Like her life is so interesting and just like what society has been doing over the course of her career is really interesting. And just the way they are telling the story is really cool. So I can't recommend it enough. I'm That's thoroughly awesome. Enjoying it. Daniel is liking it, and he is not a podcast listener.
Oh.
I usually, when I'm listening to a podcast, like if I'm cooking or something and he comes in, I'll like turn it off because he just, you know, he doesn't like the sound of people talking. And I did that like just instinctually. he's like, oh, why'd you do that? That was really interesting. So, you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to start then.
It's a good time.
I download a few episodes for the plane.
Dolly
Parton. Yeah, good for a long journey.
Yeah.
It's called Dolly Parton's America.
Dolly Parton's America.
Okay, I will put it in the show notes, everyone. So go to your show notes and scroll until you find the link.
And if you're not sure what show notes are, go back a couple episodes previous.
Mm. It's the about this podcast. Boom.
Boom.
All right.
Well, Alex, cool. Story. We've waited long enough.
Okay. Well, it's not that funny. Now I feel like there's a lot of buildup. So we finally, for 4 years, Jay has been complaining about the mattress on our bed, which we got from Groupon when we bought the townhouse. So 6 or 7 years ago at this point, it lasted as long as like a Groupon mattress would last. And for the last, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 months, it's like so like sunken in like in awkward ways. And it's only like one side, so you can't even like flip it.
Mm.
Jay has been sleeping like at the foot of the bed and I've been sleeping at the head of the bed, right? It's great arrangement.
Well,
and my
really
mom,
could be.
Yeah, was it over? Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess it could be.
It's not a multiple of 12, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I get it. It's a multiple of 12 plus 5.
Plus
5.
Some more numbers.
Yeah.
Plus 9, right? No?
Isn't 12 times 12 64?
I was thinking 12 times 5 is 60 plus 9. No?
Oh, 12 times 12 is 144. We already went over what a gross.
Oh my God, I'm so impressed by how much math you guys could do in your head. I literally just like just fuzzed out. Like just, it was just like crickets in my head. I'm just like, nope, not going to math today.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's okay. I didn't either. I went for it, but I failed. Anyway.
Multiples of 12 are kind of scary, so.
It's not as easy as 9. It's fair. Just move the fingers down.
Oh, my God. Oh, the fingers with the 9. Oh,
I know. Yeah. It's just one of those things that, like, God just gifted you.
Yes. My little dyslexic brain. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I know. It's kind of like the only good thing about tips, the percentage of tax being so high in New York City is you can just double the tax and there's your tip. It is.
Yep,
it really
that
is
also a, makes it. It still have really to, does. Still have to do it on my fingers. Still have to count it out. But, you know.
It doesn't matter.
At least I know I can do it.
At least I know it's there.
I will succeed in my counting. Like,
the numbers are provided for you. It's just a matter of putting it together. Anyway.
Exactly.
So we finally got a new mattress. Because my mom was like, over Thanksgiving, I was like, yeah, we're hoping to get a mattress for like a Black Friday or a Cyber Monday sale. And she was like, why don't you just like rotate it? And I was like, because then I would be sleeping at the foot of the bed and Jay would be sleeping at the head of the bed.
Yeah, I think the time for rotating the mattress has long since expired.
Right. But like mattresses are so expensive. I know that JP and Kayla and whoever else had talked about like the Zenith mattress or something before, because we looked into that and it was very affordable, but it was actually cheaper than the Groupon one, which made us a little bit like nervous. I'm sure that because Dan had also talked about that same mattress he had recommended. So like we knew people. So we knew people. We went to it. Like, but anyway, Jay had his heart set on this other mattress that he's loved, been like staring at for like the last like 3 or 4 years, and it's like the purple mattress or something. It's one of those like podcast advertised internet mattresses or something. Mm-hmm. And they give you like 90 days to try it out, blah, 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 blah. So we're like, all right, well, I guess we're gonna do it. We'll just do it now. And we did, and it came in today, and I don't know, like Jay set the whole thing up, but he managed to like disarray, like completely like just tear apart like everything in the room. Like the laundry basket was in the wrong place, the other laundry basket was in the wrong place, the dressers were all moved, like everything was just, you know, all in disarray, like a bomb had like exploded. So Zach went in and Zach was like super excited. He helped us carry the mattress, the new one in.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, it was really sweet. And he helped us like set it up or whatever, and then he went to go play or do whatever. And I was like, Alex, do you want to see mommy and daddy's new bed? And like you put him in, and he goes, I guess there was some KY lubrication that was not out. It was not out beforehand, but it was on the dresser. So it was, and he was like, diaper cream?
Not exactly.
And at that point, like, I was like, oh, that's daddy's diaper cream. I walked around, he was like, daddy's diaper cream?
Oh my God.
I know. It was so funny. Oh, children. They're all so cute. All right. It's time to move on. But before we move on, we have some fantastic news and we totally buried the lead. Mandy solved pre-gravy gate.
Right.
Yay.
Yes. So she did. I didn't have to go back, re-listen to everything, but I did cue it up, and it's just as anticlimactic as we were concerned about. So it is about an hour and 22 minutes into the episode 3.21. Oh, 3.21. Another like. Our favorite DP specialist. And I believe we must have recorded some parts without Brian, maybe, because he's not in this, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
this point.
I think we, yeah.
Possible.
Yeah. That rings some bells.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah, sorry, Brian.
Okay, here we go. Here's the clip. We'll try to get done at a reasonable hour for us, aka 11.
This is my pre-gravy.
A petition to remind me that next year our pre-Thanksgiving episode has to be called pre-gravy.
Write that down. Yeah. Write that down.
Somebody write that down. I'm not going to have the same notebook in a year.
Yeah, I won't remember.
funny because we went back to the notebook and I didn't write it down.
Yep.
But Mandy did. Okay.
Wow.
Mystery solved. Thank you, Mandy.
Mandy to the rescue.
You are truly an honorary broad.
Yep.
Through and through. Can I send you a wine glass? I have extra ones. Please let me know. They cost us a lot of money. They can't go to waste. Don't put it in the dishwasher, though. Or in the washing machine. Dishwasher.
No, or in the washing machine. But or really, you shouldn't be putting any glass in the washing machine.
That is very true. On that note, it is time to move on. As promised last week, we have our annual reading of the Bad Sex in Fiction Awards from the Literary Review. And this was submitted by Matt. Matt says, hey, broads, it's that time of year for the Literary Review's Bad Sex in Fiction Awards. Can't say I've read any of these books, but it looks like we have some women authors getting in on the action this year. For the first time, it ended in a tie. At least one of these, I believe, may be a casualty of a bad translation, but here we go. And before we start that, I want to read part of what won last year, because you guys didn't remember it, but somebody out there is definitely going to remember this clip. I remember being the one to read it, I think. I don't even know. I'm sure somebody could tell me. But it was, when I reread it on the Literary Review's website tonight, I was like, oh my God, yes, I remember this. So the one that won last year was by James Frey, the dude that plagiarized the A Million Little Pieces book. It was called Katerina. And, okay, here is the excerpt from it. It was, the passage that won was set in a Paris bathroom involving the narrator and his lover. And here we go. I'm hard and deep and inside her, fucking her on the bathroom sink, her tight little black dress still on her. Oh, by the way, this is explicit. So please, if your children are listening, just skip a little bit. Sorry about that. Okay. Let's start this again. I just wanted to read this first sentence again because it's so good. I'm hard and deep inside her, fucking her on the bathroom sink, her tight little black dress still on, her thong on the floor, my pants at my knees, our eyes locked, our hearts and souls and bodies locked. Come inside me. Come inside me. Come inside me. Blinding, breathless, shaking, overwhelming, exploding, white God, I come inside her, my neck, my cock throbbing. I almost said neck. That's weird. My cock throbbing. We're both moaning. Eyes, hearts, souls, bodies, one, white God, come, come, come. I close my eyes, let out my breath, come. I lean against her, both breathing hard. I'm still inside her, smiling. There is no punctuation. She takes my hands, lifts them, and places them around her body. She puts her arms around me. We stay still and breathe hard inside her, tight and warm. And what around me? We breathe. She gently pushes me away. We look into each other's eyes, and she smiles. And there is more, but we're done. Because, whew, I got to take my clothes off. Hi.
Can I add an editorial note?
Please do.
That at the end, and she smiles and thinks, he didn't even ask if I came. Spoiler alert, she didn't.
She didn't. look, I don't know what it is like to have a male orgasm firsthand, but whew, if it's like that, whew. I get why you guys want to do it all the time.
Oh, dear.
All right, so that was last year's winner, just to catch everybody up. That's a fan favorite. I hope I remember to read that every year. Mandy, set a reminder. Thanks. I really am taking my sweatshirt off now. I worked myself up, guys.
The right lather.
Yeah. That was. So anyway, I realized that we tried to two literary things 2 weeks in a row is not totally our jam, but here we are. So here we go.
This is tradition, though. You know, it's the tradition. Holiday season.
Tradition.
Tradition.
Who wants to start? So there were two winners for the first time. The first one was The Office of Gardens and Ponds by Deirdre Shandy.
Didier de Coin. That's the one that I'm guessing was written by a Frenchman.
Yeah.
May have been slaughtered in translation.
I nominate Shandy read that one.
All right. This is a co-champion. Katsuro moaned as a bulge formed beneath the material of his kimono. A bulge that Miyuki seized, kneaded, massaged, squashed, and crushed. With the fondling, Mitsuro's penis and testicles became one single mound that rolled around beneath the grip of her hand. Miyuki felt as though she was manipulating a small monkey that was curling up its paws.
Cute.
Very confused.
Yeah.
I can't, like, I was trying to, like, visualize that in my head to see if it made it better.
So this actually reminds me of a sketch that I recently watched by a comedian whose name I can't remember. Sorry. It was hilarious because she was talking about, like, how if women approached men the same way that men often approach women, like, in bed. She's saying that, like, the female orgasm isn't like this mysterious thing to, like, discover how to do. It's just like, you know, it's much more simpler that, you know, you just have to ask. And she's like, yeah, I mean, if, like, you know,
yeah,
if women went up to men and were just like, you know, tap, tap, tap. Like, if they wouldn't, you know, wouldn't be great for them. And that's kind of what this reminds me of. Squashing, crushing. Meeting.
It also just doesn't sound terribly romantic. It sounds like a really bad physical.
Well, to be fair, if you, this reminds me
a small monkey that's curling up its paws. Like, what is that?
Honestly, this reminds me of so old school married man listeners, like. The Dale days, they talked about, it was either Dale or Jack, somebody had to have, like, the cough into, like, the balls test. What is that? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The prostate exam, is that what it is?
Yes.
Is that what it's for?
I don't fucking know. I'm not a dude.
I thought it was a prostate.
But what does your prostate have to do with your balls?
I don't know.
Maybe it was like a comprehensive physical because.
And coughing is like. No, because even kids sometimes have to do. You know, it's like a part
it,
of.
It must have been like some kind of like comprehensive physical because one of them like turned 50 or something because that timeline would match up with that. Like old school Merry Men show was so ridiculous. It was great. It was just so ridiculous. All of it was just ridiculous. I loved every single second of it. Like I wish Dale would come back and just do like a short run of ridiculous. Because once they hit the season where they were talking about what's the pooping on the chest?
Oh, I don't remember.
Boston
Steamroller. That has a name,
and I feel okay with that.
The Boston Steamroller?
That I don't remember.
Something steamer.
Cleveland steamer, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. People started writing in like the names because they're, you know, kind of like middle-aged dudes and Jay. And people started writing. Somebody didn't know what something was called. So then like there was this whole like several episodes. It was like a season long of like listeners just writing in like sex acts like with gross things and weird names and like just like their minds. But I don't know. It was a time. Okay. It was a moment in time. And... anyway, how did we get to this prostate thing? Oh, Shandy said it was like Amanda said it was like an exam, and it reminded me of like season five.
A turn and cough.
Yeah, there we go. So I don't know if we all have the full. There's more excerpts from here, but my favorite part of this is kind of weird. Is this like a sex scene with a ghost? Because the earthy taste surprised her. When he was alive, it swelled inside Miyugi's mouth. Katsuro's penis had tasted of raw fish, of warm young bamboo shots, and of fresh almonds when she finally released its juices. Is he not alive anymore?
That would be the impression I would get from that.
Yeah, because then the following paragraph starts with, Miyuki had loved this man. Not that he was a very good lover, but what did she know, after all, since she had experienced no one but him? He used to upset her by the way he silently loomed up behind her and took her by the shoulders and his nails scratching her flesh, blah, 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 blah.
This sounds like a really lovely relationship they have.
Oh, you know, who doesn't love that penis fish?
You know, who doesn't love a lurker, you know?
Hey, you don't know what their foreplay is. Stick.
Yeah, you know.
The old penis flesh stick. I don't know. Whatever. I guess if it worked for them. Hey. Amanda, do you...
Do I want to read the next one? Yeah. Sure.
Pax, which means peace, by the way.
Sure. Ah, I did not know that. Yeah, Pax by John Harvey, the other co-champion. She was burning hot, and the heat was in him. He looked down on her perfect black slenderness. Her eyes were ravenous. Like his own, they were fire and desire. More than torrid, more than tropical, they too were riding the equator. They embraced as if with a violent holding they could weld the two of them one. Notice these are all two TWO. They too, as in the two of them were riding, not they also. And also holding they could weld the two of them one. The two of...
When so two become one.
I just have some general writing issues with this one. Not that I'm particularly offended by it. I'm just perplexed by the word choice. The sentence structure is a little confusing for my brain.
He does down further call her the female praying mantis devouring her mate mouthful by mouthful.
Oh, that's good. That's some real imagery right there.
Like the mantis dies then.
They do.
It's not like a good thing.
I wonder how many people write that analogy or thinking it's sexy, but not really that they die.
No, it's never sexy. Hey guys, let's all collectively agree. Not sexy. Just don't use it.
Yeah. I would imagine that they just don't know.
Yep. Barbaric.
I don't know.
He also does describe her arms as being spider arms.
Oh, so, are they like Madonna veiny or
long maybe she spider just, arms? I don't know.
Maybe she just has more than two. And that's T-O-O, not T-W-O.
Maybe she has 12. Who knows?
She's 12. She's 12 arms.
Octopus arms.
She actually just is an octopus.
And you know what sounds like octopus?
Praying mantis.
Oh, I was thinking octopusy, but you know.
That would have been a better joke.
Just to like fit in this, you know, wonderful erotic fiction.
Oh my God. Also, further down, it says, he was upside down over her, loving her bush and lick kissing like eating her inner thighs.
We don't eat it. We do not eat flesh.
Also, you don't necessarily need the like there.
I mean, if they're arachnids, maybe they do.
Yeah.
True.
Hold on. Who published this book?
Seriously, it's like you read something like this. It's like, oh, hey, I could write a book. Yeah. Clearly, your grammar doesn't have to be all that good.
Ooh, the cover to this has some vagina imagery with some naked angels.
Good. Oh, lovely.
The description of this book is, when artist Stephen Bloodsmith creates a series of images inspired by Rubens's trip to London in 1629, the fundamentals of both his world and that of Rubens are challenged. By a spider woman, apparently. Oh. I just never know. On Amazon, though, this book has zero customer reviews. And I mean zero customer reviews. That's really special.
Oh, no. I almost feel a little bad now.
Do you, though?
No.
Okay. No, not really.
All right, moving on. The River Capture by Mary Costello. Here are the nominees, the runners up.
All right. He clung to her, crying, and then made love to her and went far inside her, and she begged him to go deeper. And no longer afraid of injuring her, he went deep in mind and body, among crowded organ cavities, past the contours of her lungs and liver, and shimmying past her heart, he felt her perfection. What?
Gross.
What? And a woman wrote that?
Okay, here's the thing. I got it. She meant to say that, like, he, like, you know, really, like, touched her deep inside her soul.
Oh, I got but, that, yeah.
Her and her editor was a man, so all that got lost.
Side note, this is not how anatomy works, people.
No.
It's guys, not even how, metaphor. Like, yeah, it's not how metaphors work either.
Also, nobody's penis is that big. Just stop it.
Yep.
Maybe Dr. Manhattan. Speaking of, Watchmen is so fucking good. I can't even tell you enough to go watch it and then go listen to Watchmen with Jay Jack and Matt. It's
how many episodes are out now? I've seen one.
There's eight episodes total, and there's going to be nine.
Oh, so
I have some catching up to do.
Yeah, get on board now. That's what you're saying. Now's the time.
Now is the time.
If I would have been current this whole time, I could binge all of the podcast episodes on my flight. God damn it.
Yeah.
Well, get current as far as you can, just because it's a really good show.
Cool. I would like to watch it. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, like when you don't have to. You're going to want to go out on the internet and read more about the source material. And maybe, like, you know, the podcast has been a good companion piece for me because Jay and Matt are very, like, very well versed in the source material, particularly Matt, who has read, you know, a lot of it and whatnot. But it's really good. Like, it's just it's a great show. And I think, you guys would both really like it a lot.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's really good.
That's enough an endorsement for me.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool. All right. what do we have next? Oh, yes. City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert. Which, as Amanda recognized earlier, this is the Eat, Pray, Love chick.
Yep, of Eat, Pray, Love. So, then I felt it. There was a sensation occurring here that I didn't even know could occur. I took the sharpest inhale of my life. And I'm not sure I let my breath out for another 10 minutes. I do feel, I know, not how breathing works.
Do you want to tell her or do you I?
I do feel that I lost the ability to see and hear for a while, and that something might have short-circuited in my brain. Something that had probably never been fully fixed since. My whole being was astonished. I could hear myself making noises like an animal, and my legs were shaking uncontrollably, not that I was trying to control them, and my hands were gripping down so hard over my face that I left fingernail divots in my own skull. Then it
not
became
how your head works.
Not how your head works. Fingernails.
That's not how this works.
You know, it's like they're those special frosted tips that they're just like, you know, they're just nails.
Yeah.
They're like actual nails, not like fingernails. They're like, you know.
Straight into the skull.
Straight into the skull. Okay. Then it became more. And after that, it became even more still. Then I screamed as though I were being run over by a train. And that long arm of his was reaching up again to palm my mouth. And I bit into his hand the way a wounded soldier bites on a bullet. And then it was the most and more or less. Oh, and I more or less died.
So I'm a little bit confused because this sounds a lot more like maybe like a rape scene.
Yeah.
It certainly doesn't
sound romantic.
No. There's, like, nothing positive in this.
No.
I get that it was like so passionate that, oh my God, I was feeling all the feels, but this is really weird.
I don't know. I feel like the ability, losing the ability to see or hear for a while is kind of a blessing in the age of Trump.
Yeah, I suppose so. But it also just sounds very violent to be passionate.
Yeah.
Like, hence it feels more rapey. It just feels very exactly violent.
Like the palming the mouth and the...
Yeah, here's the description and the dying, of the male orgasm I was
and the dying,
before.
Yeah.
Although, again, throwback to, I don't know what season, but the French do call it the little death.
Oh, that's orgasm. True. The orgasm. So. Moving on. This is the final one. And this is The Electric Hotel by Dominic Smith. The actual lovemaking was a series of cryptic clues and concealed pleasures. A sensual treasure hunt. She asked for something, then changed her mind. He made adjustments and calibrations, awaited further instructions. For most of the proceedings, he felt his own desire as if it were tethered to a wire, a bright red balloon floating in his peripheral vision, but eventually he burst through. It was towards the end as their breathing quickened. Her stage directions had stalled out into silence. He looked to his right and noticed the scene in the smoky lens of the mirror above the bureau, saw his own body move with the steady rhythm of a bellows blowing air into the base of the fire. It brought back blah, 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 the whole lot of stuff that's really long and cheesy.
Oh, there's French in it.
There is French
in it. They're in Paris.
Then he locks eyes on Sabine's in the mirror, and he can see that she was pleased with her staging, with her hair fanning across the pillow, with the way her ankles locked about his calves so that her long white feet formed a perfect V. That's hard. It's hard to get a perfect V. Are there perfect Vs? Every V is different. and that's what makes them perfect. And it was the act of looking back at the film strip juddering above the bureau that sent her into a final boisterous delirium. She bit his shoulder, then whispered into the mirror,
"Nous voilà."
Catching her breath, "There we are."
There we are.
That's dumb.
I don't know. And then the next paragraph talks about kissing ribs and groins and shit. So cool.
Also, can I just say her name is Sabine? That just makes me think that this is somehow a reference to the Rape of the Sabine Woman, which is like a popular thing to paint in art history. And that just kind of sucks.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's like this story about the Romans, like, not having any women. And so they went to the Sabines and like basically abducted their women, something like that. But it's depicted a lot in art history.
Okay.
Sounds lovely.
I have to look that up. Yeah.
Yeah. Just great.
Just really beautiful, relaxing art.
Yeah. And it's okay. Like usually depicted as men, like, you know, being manly and like, you know,
this looks very Game of Thrones-y.
Fighting each other and stuff.
Honestly, this looks very Game of Thrones-y. If you...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okie dokie. Yay, history.
Hooray.
I mean, that might be like a mythological thing. It might not be actual history, but it definitely stole the hearts and imaginations of centuries of artists.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, on that note, guys... Thank you again, Matt, for sending that in. We appreciate it as always. Let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back when to feedback. We'll wrap this puppy up. And, yeah, we'll be done with our penultimate episode of the decade, which we're going to have to need to reflect on at the end of this show, because holy crap, how has a decade gone by?
I know.
Okay, cool. We'll be right back. All right, and we are back. And now it is time to get into some listener feedback. First up, we have a haiku from Dennis, who says, "Sex sounds from above flow through Amanda's hot mic giggles all around."
Perfect.
That was a really
good one. I love it.
Thank you, Dennis. Okay, so Dennis had posted a clip to that Red Solo Cup parody that he did last year, but he also actually posted this in the patrons group. So we had talked about pickles. Are these from pickles?
This no. one does.
I don't know. Wherever this came from. So Dennis, I don't know if you've seen it, but Dennis creates these hilarious Oss and Chipmunk voices. So here is the one that he created for us. We've got some time. Let's play it. It's freaking hilarious. We'll play some of it. It's great. Jay and I were listening to it together and we cracked up.
I'm so sorry. I let Fiona in and I think she must have just farted because it just didn't. It is a potent girl with a flag.
Aww.
She's sitting in my lap.
Oh, that's not very nice. A gal doesn't fart in another gal's lap.
This gal does.
Girl
this
code.
Gal does. I tried to show her, but I don't know if anyone can see her. Oh, man, Fiona. Whew. Anyway, sorry.
So I actually love mashed potatoes, but I love mashed potatoes with butter and salt. I could give two shits about gravy. Like, if it's there, cool. If it's not there, whatever. Like, you know, I love me some mashed potatoes, butter, and salt. So just make it all the unhealthy.
Yeah. Yes, all the above.
So pickles.
I like the canned cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
Bonus points if it still has the can ridges on it. Like, least amount of effort. Maximize the delicious.
Okay, so your favorite pickle, sweet or sour? I like dill.
I like dill. I like a spicy ones. Pickle. Mm, nice. That's what she said.
Well,
yeah. See, Greg knows what I'm saying. He's with the canned cranberry sauce as well.
I'm sorry, Shandy. What were you going to say about the pickles?
I love all pickles. All the pickles. Yes, that's all fair. The pickles. Yeah, that's probably the correct answer. I really like, and this is not even, and that's what she said, but I really like the big pickles. You know, like
yeah, those big, yeah. Oh, Clausen's pickles.
Yes,
those are the best. Okay. And yep. I like the halves, because they do Spears halves, sandwich slices, or whole ones. And my preferred is the halves, because I'll eat two of them, and, you know, amazing, but I'll do any of them.
Yep. No, the whole ones. I used to like the whole ones, and then I would like slice them into like circles, like chips.
Yeah. Huh. JP said that Big Pickles was my nickname in high school.
Oh, man. So
you just keep
funny.
Going.
Thank you, Dennis, so for good. Creating that. I love that so much. Like honestly, I think I'm going to start playing those clips more often, whether they're here or in the patron show. So that was actually, that did make the final cut of the episode once I listened to it again. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, good times. All right, anyway, thanks, Dennis. As far as Face Back goes, Matt says, I, for one, am shocked that a male writer from the 1950s was sexist. And that is in response to the bad literary men writing women from last week.
Fair.
And then he has some book recommendations. Circe by Madeline Miller, the story of the Greek goddess, perhaps best known for her role in the Odyssey, but from her point of view. Oh, that sounds interesting.
Interesting.
Covers, yeah. I used to read a lot of those. I keep seeing this
everywhere.
Stuff. Yeah. Covers her exile, her feuds with other gods, and of course, her time with Odysseus and his men. This was one that appeared a lot on the best of 2018, and it would be a good companion piece to another book I've recommended, The Silence of the Girls by Pat Barker. The next one is Know My Name by Chanel Miller. As you can probably guess from the subject material, a memoir of the former Emily Doe of the Stanford rape trial. This is a tough read. Miller does not shy away from her attack and how her rapist's trial and the media circus that sprung around it affected her life. But if you can handle it, you're in for an eye-opening and enraging recount of her ordeal, one that doesn't go for the cliches often found in survivor stories that make them easier to read.
Yeah, totally. I put a hold on it at the library.
Okay. You'll have to let us know.
That's the thing, though. Like, we'll see if I actually get around to reading it. The intention is there, but it's like because it's one of those books that you know going into it, it's going to be...
Trigger warning.
Yeah. So we'll see. I may or may not read it, but I definitely agree it's valid.
I will put the links to all of these in the show notes. But anyway, the last one is Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid. As you can guess, I needed something lighter after Miller's memoir, and so far I found it in this page-turner, an oral history of a fictitious band that sounds a lot like Fleetwood Mac. The Fleetwood Mac story, by the way, I didn't really know until a couple of years ago after we saw Buckingham McVie, and it's crazy.
Anyway, oh, it's so crazy.
I had known of it, but like I didn't actually like sit and focus my energy on like learning it until then, and it was a lot.
They were all sleeping with each other and doing cocaine.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm where you were, Colleen.
Yeah,
like I'm aware of the general idea, but not any of the details.
Well, as Amanda said, is how Jay presented it to me. It was like everyone was fucking each other and doing coke all the time.
Yeah.
Basically. And then writing songs. And
writing
it.
Really wonderful music.
Yeah.
Like during all that freaking chaos, they wrote some of the best songs popular music. It's amazing.
I know. And now I listen to that, like those, what's the album with the chain
Rumors.
On it? Rumors. Thank you. I listen to Rumors now and I'm like, oh man, this is like mind blowing. Which I'm sure people out there listening now are like, yeah, fucking duh. But I want to remind you all that I am 35, so shut the fuck up. I discovered this when I was like 32, okay? Not the album, the actual story behind it, but cool. I love you all, though. Please keep listening. continuing on, Reid does a great job with characters and making this non-existent music feel real. I'm about halfway done with this book, but it looks like I'll be adding it to the broadcast book club list that I've made soon enough. Awesome.
All right. Cool. Oh, and I did try to put a hold on Magic for Liars at the book at the book club. At my local library.
Yeah.
Come to find out, it's been so long since I've used my library card.
Oh, no.
It's expired and I need to go to the library and get it restored and reinstated. So the saga continues.
Why don't I just send you the one that I have? You can just borrow my copy.
I suppose I could do that. But then you have to put it in the mail. And my library is literally down the street. I have no
And you really place. Should reactivate your library.
And I should reactivate it. Exactly. So I will
and
do
that's
it.
Fine. Like, you should reactivate it. But I'm just saying, if you want me to do that, I don't mind.
It's okay. I don't want to bother. What's your Antonio? Is that your... Your mailman's
Roberto,
name?
Roberto.
Roberto. Roberto is busy.
Roberto fine. Is, yeah. At any given point. We don't know who Roberto is, right? I just keep thinking about that one day that he came at like 7 a.m. because he had misdelivered the package the day before. And he came in like his work car or whatever it was. Like his home, like his street clothes and like home. Like
oh my God. He takes his job very seriously.
He does. I love Roberto.
Yep. What's their mission? It's like in sleet and snow
and rain and
rain
and exploding post office cars, exploding mail trucks.
It's been quite the year for Roberto.
Oh yeah, yeah. He started his gig with a bang.
With a bang,
an exploding mail truck to be precise.
Yes. Oh man.
And he thinks I'm a total fucking weirdo, but whatever.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right, it's time for Mass What She Said.
All right. I could have come better prepared.
And here it is.
Made my gravy in Connecticut.
Yeah, it did.
It really became post-gravy.
I saw deeper into it.
I couldn't remember if you had, if you wanted to.
I think it's time to put it away.
I love that you guys have these things and enjoy them.
You could fill half a bottle with this thing. That's the thing that went through the organs, right?
Sure.
In the book we just read? No?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
No. Okay.
Yes. I think that you could fill a whole bottle with that thing.
Several. Just stacked on top of each other.
Right.
Several bottles.
The frosting is the best part.
Hold for the siren. Hold for the siren.
Ring the alarm.
Ring the alarm.
And we're throwing frosting. While we're waiting for the alarm to go off, so we did gingerbread houses this weekend, and oh my God. This was the first time that it was, like, we've always bought the pre-gravy, like, put up one.
Yeah.
Pre-gravy.
Right, right.
The pre-constructed ones, and then, you know, you just have to decorate it yourself. Not this year. This year we had to put it together ourselves, and it was me and a very excited Alex and Zachary, and they were like, they could not wait, and I kept being like, guys, let it dry, like, it's going to collapse, right? So Zachary kept touching his and kept collapsing. Matt, don't even bother with that one, that's gross. He's a minor. And and, you know, Zach's was the first one I did, so there was a bit of a learning curve, and I got it a little bit better with Alex's, right? So Zachary was like, I want Alex's, because his is better. His is blah, 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 and it's better. And I was like, okay. So I redid Zachary's original one after he took Alex's, and it was much better. It was clearly a lot more stable and whatever. And poor Zachary, he took by, you know, letting his, like, you know, I want, he learned the lesson that the one that he took ended up falling apart. I'm not kidding when I say it was like 4 or 5 times that we reconstructed this. And finally, and I was like, you should have just taken this one. Like, I said I was going to fix it, and this one is totally fine. The other one didn't have any problems after, you know, I fixed it or whatever. And Zach, finally, he went through and he fixed it for the 4th or 5th time. Like, I had done it the other time. Zach, he, like, you know, we had deconstructed, reconstructed. It collapsed in on itself. Like, it was a disaster. And, like, it was at the point where I was like, shit, I'm going to just buy you another one. Like, I am so sorry. Like, this is so messed up. But he gets it, and it's decorating. He's so happy. And we're going to move it from the kitchen table onto, like, the bar counter so it can dry. We get it. We transfer it over. The second I put it down, it collapses again.
Oh, no. Things are temperamental.
I know. And I was like, see, you should have, like, that's the lesson that you learn, is to just, you were impatient and you took the one that you thought looked better instead of improving upon the one that you already had. And yours could have been, like, you know, fine. The 2-year-old was able to, like, put the decorations on it without it collapsing. But anyway, I have to put pictures up, but, like, they both kind of look hot disaster-y, because never again. We will always go pre-made.
Oh, it's more fun.
It was.
All right. I can start if you're still pulling it up.
That's for Matt.
Let me take a deep breath for this one.
Get yourself ready. Buckle in.
It continues. It continues. It continues.
We're almost done.
2 more to go.
This is Pulitzer material. Get ready.
I've never been to Hump.
You finished?
It's not set up to get more.
Tell your friends.
Thank you, Matt. Moving into the emails, we have one from Fallon.
All right. And the subject is the place you put your car. Hello. I'm so glad I finished the 420 episode early Tuesday morning so I could respond before you recorded next. Hooray.
Yay.
Because when one of the broadcasters directly asks for your input, you answer.
That's true.
The great, very true. The great English versus American pronunciation debate is my household. The great English versus American pronunciation debate in my household usually goes like this. Daryl, Englishman. We created the language. Me, American. We perfected it. And by perfecting it, I basically mean we eliminated all the extra letter U's they put in words. And yes, true. When we have this discussion, I usually throw in the aluminum example. Another variation of the story Shandy shared about is being a misspelled word. A misspelled word, I read it was intentionally left out as more letters meant printing costs went up. Oh, right. Interesting. Aluminum and oregano aren't words he regularly uses, and if he even knows what recipes I use oregano in, I'd be shocked. One word that sticks out to me from watching The Crown or The Great British Baking Show
is schedule.
I think I've once heard Daryl say it, schedule. The same way I do. But on television, all I hear is schedule.
Yeah, that's totally a thing. Yeah, totally schedule. A thing.
The only word that Daryl will not budge on is garage.
Oh, they say garage. Garage.
Right? They say garage.
Garage.
Garage, right? Garage? I don't know. That's what they say in Downton Abbey.
I don't know. Brooklyn is screaming at us, though.
I know. Hold on. Hold for sirens. Oh, that was quick. That was good.
They put that.
No, there it goes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Cool. We're back. Okay. And maybe it's because he's from the North. Insert Doctor Who reference. Like the Starks in Game of Thrones. He says Americans say it the way only very posh English people do. Garage. Garage. I'm sure on his deathbed, with his dying words, he'll tell me it's pronounced garage. Love you, ladies. Fallon. P.S. The Great American Baking Show Holiday Edition starts December 12th.
December 12th!
December 12th. It all like goes back to 12.
Oh.
I'm on it. Oh.
Yes,
ooh,
yes. Ooh.
Sabrina you. Comes back in January. I'm so excited.
That's really, really exciting.
I saw that today and I made a note to bring it up. And then a lot of things happened today. And I
forgot. Has it been a full year since we've had Sabrina?
It has.
It has.
Because it came out around Halloween, didn't it?
Yes.
It was Halloween and then they had the Christmas. One.
Yeah.
I love that show so much. Also,
me too.
Also, New Schitt's Creek final season starts in January.
Is the last episode of Schitt's Creek that's up like online right now, is that really the last episode of the season? Or are they going to throw out another? They did that once before.
I don't know what the last one.
It doesn't seem like the end of a season.
I don't know the one that's up online.
Okay. I think it's like number 14. And I think I remember that happening last time where like there were 14 episodes up and then randomly like all of a sudden I was like, oh, one more. Here's 15. And it was like, oh, that's the end of the season.
I'll Google it when I go back and listen to this.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Side note on garage. I'm kind of now
garage.
I don't even know how I say
garage.
It.
Garage. Garage.
It's funny because like that's a French word. And in American English, we pronounce it like closer to the actual like French pronunciation than this garage business. And I feel like usually it's the Brits that are more like closer to the French pronunciations because, you know, like their vowels are similar. And
how do the French pronounce it?
Garage.
Garage?
Garage.
It's the same. It's just the R is different. Garage. And in French... In French, like, the stress is going to usually go on the, not usually, the stress will always go on the last syllable, but they don't, it's not, like, super accentuated, like in English, you know, where we really have, like, one syllable that's, like, super more accentuated than another syllable, and it's just, like, anyone's guess which one it's going to be, and is different sometimes in British and American English, so also go figure. Good luck, everyone. But, just thought it was weird that they would go rogue. Well, garage.
Garage.
Every once in a while, like Boris comes along and makes them go rogue.
makes them go rogue. Which garage, the French verb to park like a car is garé. So the place that you park the car is garage.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
When I first learned that verb, I was like,
don't people in Europe and Australia call it mainly like a car park? Like garage?
Oh, I don't know.
Thank you, Fallon, so much. We appreciate it. If anybody else out there is listening and comes from a multi-English lingual home wants to contribute, the broadcasters3@gmail.com. Bonus points if you and your significant other or friend or whoever, you guys want to compare how you say things. 331-276-2373.
Ooh, that would be real fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Before we get to our next email, we had a late-breaking Facebook feedback that happened while recording this. And this is from Samantha, and she said, she links to a tweet from The Volatile Mermaid on Twitter, and the tweet says, give her what she really wants this holiday season, death to the patriarchy, and real pockets in every dress and pair of
pants. Yes!
Yes, both of those things.
Yes!
Yes.
And nylons that don't run.
And nylons that don't run.
Yeah, I had some really runny nylons this weekend, and I thought of you, Shandy.
Yes, the first time I saw your double run.
Happened to me. I don't know if it happened while I was putting them on, or if they somehow just got run in the drawer, but it was very sad.
Yeah. I feel your pain. I am here for you.
But I've also can't remember the last time. I can't remember when I bought them, so I think they've lived a good long nylon life.
Nylons. They're the worst. So getting on to our next email, we have an email from Drank.
Drank.
I want some Drank toast.
Drank.
Drake says, like, whoa, 420 man. Ladies, hello. Hi. Like, happy episode. Like, happy episode 420. I'm sure it'll be great since, like, it isn't out yet. Whoa, I just found that time that Jack lost. It was a brownie I made today. That is like some Dr. Manhattan time shit. Spoiler alert, it's awesome. Anyways, see you later or whatever the hell time works. I don't know at this point. Regards, Drake, House of Drakes, the first of his name, King of the Grill, Protector of the Fireball Island Caves, the Breaker of Jack's Grasp of Time, Superstar Destroyer. Well, Drake, we did dedicate last week's episode to you, so thank you for officially writing in on your timetable for 420. And we'll finish this up with Andy update and get the hell out of here.
All right, so Andy writes in, hey, broads. Sorry I didn't write last week. I thought you were off. Nonetheless.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Nonetheless, there isn't much to report since I last wrote in. I thought I had some potential leads in the online dating front, but I wound up striking out not once, not twice, but three times. Three attempts at starting a chat, and all of them lasted as long as a date between you and Omega.
It's a MAGA.
And as usual, I have... Is that not what I said?
No, you fucking Midwestern accent that shit.
I don't know. I knew what you meant.
I knew what you meant, too. But you sounded like me trying to say draw.
This is marvelous.
Draw.
I will say, as a reminder, I'm not from the Midwest. However, I do understand that there are certain accents... certain vowels that people from Eastern Montana have been known to pronounce very much in a Midwestern fashion, because I suppose we are close. And what's funny is that I can't hear it. So there we go.
It is all good, man. Keep going. Don't worry about it. We all good.
No, I think it's actually great that you have a funny vowel thing that you can point out about me.
I don't even know if I could tell you how excited I am that finally I'm not the one with a funny vowel thing. It's always me. Era, era, draw.
Okay, three attempts, and this is my third. Three attempts at starting a chat, and all of them lasted as long as a date between you and a MAGA.
Yes!
And as usual, I have no idea why. The chat thing. It's pretty clear you wouldn't date a MAGA if you were single. I wonder if some of these are just women who are fishing with swiping right on every profile and seeing which ones respond. I don't get why they would swipe right on me and not respond to me. At this point, I don't expect much in that realm, and I may try some other avenues after all the holidays blow over. Wish there was more to say, but this time of year is pretty quiet for dating. The holiday season being as crazy as it is, I get it. But I'll see you with for the year in review. Hashtag I'm with hers, Andy. Andy, I feel like we got through that together.
We definitely all learned some new vowels together.
Yep. Vowels are hard. I get it.
Yeah. No, but I understand, Andy. It's tough. Like we've talked about before in other episodes, like trying to, it feels like trying to go on those dating apps or just in general, like dating in general is like, you know, when you're trying to find a new job, it's just, you got to find the one that's the right fit. And it sucks because like 970,000, especially like nowadays, aren't going to work. And it's just that one, I don't know. It's just, yeah, I'm sorry. It must be frustrating.
Yeah. Well, and I think the chat function on an online dating is actually probably the worst part of the whole process.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's just, it's so unnatural in so many ways. Because I think at that point in the process, you're not perceived as a full flushed out human being from the other person. Like you're just a profile picture. Yeah. So it makes you easier to dismiss because they're not seeing you. They don't know, you know, they don't see you as a person. They just see you as a picture. And I think that just, that can get very frustrating, but I think that is a universal, flaw in online dating. So please know you're not alone. That happens to basically anyone, I think, that does online dating at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, you can open your draw. And I don't know where I was going with that. All right. Well, that's all that I had for this evening. Does anybody else have anything?
Nope.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you to the patrons, especially the patrons that contribute at a certain level. And I'm so sorry that I forgot to thank you guys last week. That would be Tack from Tokyo, Joanne with a Plan, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Ed the Creepy Mailman, and Drake, House of Drake, First of His Name, King of the Grill, Protector of Fireball Island Caves, The Breaker of Jack's Grass on Time, and the Superstar Destroyer. Superstar Destroyer. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. If you'd like to be a patron, we really appreciate it. That'd be patreon.com/JaneJack. You can go to janejack.com and click on the Become a Patrons link on the top right-hand corner of the page. There's some good perks for each month, so we would just appreciate it. If you would just, you know, consider it. Holiday season is upon us. If you would like to shop through the Amazon Affiliates link, we would appreciate that as well. And that would be jandjack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. Anything we've talked about tonight in any of the shows, actually, always included in the show notes, no matter where the link is from. But I thought I would just throw that in there. Oh, my goodness. Next week is our final episode of 2019, which is our final episode of the decade. Do we want to make this live? Or do we want to just, like, do it up? Like, how are we going to do this?
We could do it live.
I think that'd be fun.
We could do it live and everyone bring your gratitude, your year in review, your New Year's resolutions.
Your decade in review.
I'd love this looking back shit and then looking forward.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, very excited.
So we'll be live next week. That will be recorded on Tuesday, December 17th for the patrons around 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check out, be on the lookout for the link for that. It'll be on Facebook, Twitter, maybe Instagram, wherever else. I guess that's pretty much it. But like, give a lookout. We'll be out there. We hope that you can join us Tuesday, December 19th again. We will try. We know everybody's time is precious, especially this time of year. So we will try to keep it a lot shorter than the previous live shows, which have been freaking hell on earth for me to have to edit, so. So yeah, stay tuned for that. Bring come hang out with us. It's the last show of the year. Why not? Like, just do it. Why not? And then the first show in January will probably be the bloopers show. So please stay tuned for that again. But yeah, that's all I've got. Does anybody else have anything?
Nope.
All right. Well, on that note, we'll see you guys next week live, hopefully. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody. Have a great night.
Bye.